This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2058. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 29th, Antarctica, Australia, Bangladesh, Bougainville, Brazil, China, Germany, Guinea, India, Iran, Japan, Korea, North and South, Madagascar, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Sweden, Taiwan, USA, Vanuatu, Venezuela, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Although I'm recording this at the usual time, Thursday afternoon, October 29th, Internet access has been out for 28 hours so far due to the ice storm in Oklahoma. Fortunately, we did not lose power, but we are unable to include the very latest info, which we normally would by this time, not much since October 28th. Furthermore, depending on when Internet comes back, there well could be a delay in distributing this edition of World of Radio, including our first broadcast UT Friday at 0130 on WRMI 5850 and 5010, in which case our affiliates will have to just play again the previous week's program. Please, I ask for your understanding. As a matter of fact, the Internet went down just as I was listening to the final broadcast of the calendar year of LRA 36 Antarctica, October 28th, 15475.98, reduced carrier USB, of course, via a remote in Brazil. Nominally until 16 UT on Wednesdays, but as usual it was still going later at 16:10 when we lost access. Manuel Mendez in Spain had forwarded a note he got directly from Esperanza Base about final broadcast of the year, including the names of the staff. The crew next winter could be partially or totally different. They usually resume in February or maybe in March. I would rather spend a summer in Antarctica than a winter. Here are the names of the crew. Of course, in print you can see exactly how they're spelled. Eliana Baraldo, Julia Morena, Tamara Milan, Yanina Galeano, Damian Tranamil, and the director, Norman Nahuel Tripay. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, last week Ron Howard noted that Radio 4KZ 5055 in Queensland, Australia, had been consistently cutting off the air at 11:06 UT, but since then they've added another hour. As noted first, October 23rd, off shortly after the end of the news, and he hoped they would continue doing that. And in fact they did, October 24th until 12:08, October 25th and 27th until 12:07, cutting off. We see in the B20 HFCC registrations a bunch of imaginary frequencies for Bangladesh throughout the shortwave bands for their imaginary external service. Ivo Ivanov says they are wooden, and probably the external service will again be on the air on the what had been the home service transmitter, although 100 kilowatts, on 4750 between 12:30 and 20 UT. Non-directional, in English, Nepali, Urdu, Hindi, Arabic, and Bangla. Ron Howard, check this out, says the 19-meter band is completely closed, but he did hear them on 4750 with a late startup at 12:45. A decent signal, seemed like distorted English, but there was no interference from China or Indonesia on this occasion, but Kodar interference. But the external service is still on 4750. And the previous day, October 25th, Wolfgang Büschel found 4750 carrier starting, not until 15:35 UT, suddenly. The reactivated 19-meter frequency of Radio Inconfidencia, Belo Horizonte, Brazil, as reported last week, slightly above 15190, like 0.1. But it can also vary below that. Wolfgang Büschel found them October 25th on 15189.844 at 1350 UT. Of course, frequency inexactitude is virtually a sine qua non for shortwave broadcasting from Brazil. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus Perry in Illinois reports about 6185 China Huayi Broadcasting Station in Fuzhou. heard October 21st at 11:40, conversing in Mandarin. Fair signal and clear, no sign of previous Korea interference. And Mexico was not on at this time. He says, Jonathan Short, his pen name, the QSL manager, perhaps self-proclaimed for Huayi, Jinling, and Fuxing, has not been answering email, and his blog is unresponsive. Some of my comments mixed in there. Ralph Perry also reports on 6200, voice of Jinling in Nanjing. Heard October 22nd at 12:36. It came on late. Sign on at 12:36, blotting out Tibet, which was already in progress. Then the Jinling signal cut off. After 10 seconds, again, revealing the weaker Xizhang. After a minute, Jinling came back on, for good, at 12:38, with a huge signal. And he says, sleepy, tinkling, piano, smooth, jazz music. I find it always easy to tell Jinling, with its huge signal and big city schlocky music format, from Xizhang, which is weaker and often in Chinese talk programming. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports on Radio Mystery 21, believed to be a pirate from Germany, which started out on 4700. Lately it had been on 4875, but October 26th at 1930 he was hearing it on 4860 with pop songs and ID, but by 21UT they were back on 4875. Manuel Mendez also notes that after months out of air, Radio Guinea again heard on 9650, October 27th at 0820 to 832, African songs, French ID saying they're on the air 24 hours, more African songs. However, some random checks by yours truly have failed to find it, even if they're on 18 hours a day. Meanwhile, Dave Kenny says, great to have Guinea back on shortwave, first noted on 9650 at 1710 UT, October 23rd, during his de-expedition to Chagres, Scotland. As we reported last week, some All India Radio stations have permanently left shortwave. Wolfgang Bischel says, after this, he's only hearing two stations on the 60-meter band, October 26th. 4949.995, Srinagar, actually in Kashmir at 0120, with low modulation. And 5040.002, Jaipur, at 0135. Joe Jacob says another one, which may still be on to try for, is Leh, Kashmir, on 4760. Rod Howard also monitors India closely, and here is his evaluation. Leh, 4760, I've been hearing a weak carrier recently, but no audio. Gangtok, Sikkim, on 4835, presently off the air, but expected to return. Srinagar, 4950, a decent carrier, but no audio. Jaipur, 5040, is the best heard All India Radio regional. And Aizawl, on 5050, is presently off the air, but it may be expected to return. Acker Peterson in Denmark agrees only two stations are being heard before and after 1545 UT, 4950 Srinagar and 5040 Jaipur, as of October 25th. October 24th, past midnight 30 UT, I had a carrier on 5040, but no modulation. That certainly could have been Jaipur, as Cuba was missing at that time. However, I also had an unmodulated carrier much later, when it was midday in India on 5040, so certainly had to be something else then. Dario Gabrielli in Italy forwarded to BCDX a message he received from the Spanish service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran that they were canceling broadcasts in that language. However, later information indicated they decided to keep them going after all. Ivo Ivanov has the schedule for the clandestine Radio Iran International, transmitted via Armenia, 24 hours. It's 02 to 14, UT on 11550, and 14 to 02 on 6270. Via Wolfgang Büschel, the complete English schedule, what's left of it, from NHK World Radio Japan, half an hour each. Monday to Friday, 0430, and Saturday and Sunday, starting half an hour later at 05, 6155 via Austria, 7245 Vatican, and 7445 France. At 11 UT, 11825 via Singapore, and at 14, 6165 Uzbekistan, and 11925 variable via the UAE. via Ivo Ivanov, the new schedule for JSR, Shokaze, or Seabreeze about North Korean abductions of Japanese citizens, English, only on Thursdays, 13 to 14 UT on 6145 and 7295, and 16 to 17 on 5990 and 6085. However, there is an allied service about the same subject in Japanese and Korean on different frequencies, Nippon no Kaze in Korean and Furusato no Kaze in Japanese, which happens to also be on 7295 via Taiwan between 13 and 14 UT. At least it has two additional frequencies, 5895 Uzbekistan and 9705 also from Taiwan. Ron Howard comments, an amazing frequency choice for Nippon no Kaze and Furusato no Kaze, also on the same frequency as Shokaze 7295 at 13 to 14. Strange these similar stations are doing that. Will they notice the problem and change? All are about equal strength here, so it's become a mess during that hour. And here's another problem in that area from Ron Howard on October 23rd. Terrible news, finding both 6045 and 6135 with North Korean super jamming. In the past, they just had one transmitter on one or the other frequency. Nothing to jam on either of them. It looks as if they plan to stay on both, ending my nice Madagascar reception on 6135, while the original target, Voice of Freedom, was in the clear on 5920. Such as October 25th at 1155 to 1200 with their Sunday-only COVID-19 prevention measures program in Korean. But a later report about the needless jamming, as of October 26th, it was still on 6045, but not 6135 after 1238, so Madagascar was again possible. And Ron Howard reports, very good reception of Echo of Hope, 9100, Sunday, October 25th at 1140, when they were reading a Harry Potter story in English and Korean. And the jump-around frequencies for the week of October 26th, as observed on Monday, for that and other stations. Echo of Hope, abbreviated VOH, 3985, 4880, 5995, 6245, 6350, and 9095 at 1135. When they had an English language lesson on that day, Voice of the People, VOP, best on 3480, also 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600 at 1150. We were quick to notice a new frequency registered, B20 HFCC, for the Spanish hour of KBS World Radio, South Korea, 5990 via USAGM, North Carolina, GB, meaning Greenville B, actually near Grimesland, North Carolina. That's at 01 to 02 UT, 5990. But it still hasn't started. October 27th at 0122, I was still getting them on 9605, which is the relay via WHRI. I assume this is to change later depending on whenever WBCQ takes over WHRI. About Madagascar, continuing from what I was saying about Korea, as of October 27th, Ron Howard says, although there was no North Korean jamming on 6135, I instead heard CRI in English at 1304, blocking any chance of Madagascar. Well, I checked the listings, and this is supposed to be on the air only between 14 and 16 UT via the site Xi'an in China. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2058. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Dr. Phil Erickson, W1PJE in Clinton, Massachusetts, who says, thanks for decades of faithful work on Review of International Broadcasting, World of Radio, and more. I first received RIB in upstate New York in 1977 and have admired your work ever since, keeping up now with World of Radio through I.O. groups. Good DX always. Thanks very much, Dr. Erickson, who's with the Haystack Observatory of MIT, according to his colleague Richard Langley. Both are in the academic research community studying the ionosphere using radio waves. Contributions may come via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com, or by money order in check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684. ENID, okay, 73702. A tip for rational living. Please, my fellow Americans, let us elect a decent, honest president. There's been a discussion in our group about what is the correct name of that shortwave station from New Zealand. Now we have a couple of replies from NZers themselves. First, from Chris Mackerel of World FM, one of our affiliates. The official corporate name is now RNZ Pacific, in line with the other NZ service divisions, RNZ National, which provides most of the content for shortwave, and RNZ Concert, though it still gets referred to informally as International. The old RNZI, Earl, is maintained because that's what everyone remembers it being and would complain if it suddenly went away. The Earl is now rnz.co.nz/international, even though it is RNZ Pacific. Go figure. And Brian Clark says, I asked Adrian Sainsbury of the station for his comment. The change of name to RNZ Pacific was to emphasize our target audience to broadcast to the South Pacific Islands. The international is still relevant in the sense that shortwave knows no boundaries, and we are heard outside our target area. Over time, web and frequency change announcements will be updated with the Pacific identification. We continue to be registered at ITU as RNZI. My guess, it will remain interchangeable for a very long time. Papua New Guinea update from Ron Howard about 3260 NBC Madang, voice of indigenous drums, or Maus Blong Garamut. It had been silent since last heard on the air for only one day on October 7th, but it was back October 24th, from 11:33 until off at 12:01, mostly pop songs, listenable, DJ announcer with very muffled audio who was unintelligible. There was a religious song at 1200 until 1201, a closing format of indigenous drums and chanting, and a closing announcement, as same as was heard on October 7th. Art Delibere in Maryland was also hearing him on the same day, October 24th. Meanwhile, NBC Bougainville is still silent from 3325, as they have been for a long time, only hearing Voice of Indonesia on that frequency after 1100. On October 25th, Ron says, 3260, was gone again, not heard after 1042. It may have just been another one-day-only broadcast. And there were no NBC signals from Bougainville either, 3325 on October 27th, or Madang on 3260. I knew I could not hear it directly. The UN Day annual broadcast from SAQ, the Alexanderson alternator, in Sweden on very low frequency, 17.2 kilohertz. So I watched the entire event and listened to it via their live YouTube service, which included, toward the end, a concert by a soprano. Should be audio visible indefinitely via their website as well as previous SAQ transmissions. It's alexander.n.se. Voice of America has resumed its B-season-only one-hour broadcast to Africa from North Carolina, aimed due east at 21 UT on 11720. It's mostly music after the news, but unless there's been a further schedule change, that should again make it possible for us easily to listen to Music Time in Africa on Fridays. Unlike in the A-seasons, when the only shortwave frequency is barely audible, Botswana, on 15580. Three major stories in the major media about the ongoing subject scandals at the Voice of America. I suggest you read them in their entirety, as I will quote only briefly. First, from the Washington Post by Paul Farhi, headlined, Trump appointee sweeps aside rule that ensured firewall at Voice of America. This was October 27th. The head of the agency that oversees VOA and other government-funded international broadcasters said he has rescinded a rule that blocked him from getting involved in news and editorial decisions, a step critics say would undermine their independence. The declaration by Michael Pack, who heads the U.S. Agency for Global Media, has raised fears among current and former officials that Pack is seeking to reshape VOA and its sister agencies into promotional arms of President Donald Trump, who appointed Pack. Thanks to Steve Camp, who linked to that in the NRC group. Another one is from National Public Radio by David Folkenflik, also October 27th, headlined, U.S. agency targets its own journalists' independence. And in the New York Times of October 27th by Pranshu Verma, Trump appointee rescinds rule shielding government news outlets from federal tampering. David B. Ensor, the director of Voice of America from 2011 to 2015, said, "It's terrible news. The firewall is something that distinguishes Voice of America from authoritarian radio and broadcasting organizations." Thanks to David Cole for sending that one on. B-20 shortwave season began October 25th with the end of daylight shifting time in Europe. What a coincidence, but not in North America, where we keep it going for 1 week longer. This means there has been a week of confusion. We, as always, recommend that shortwave listeners always think and report in terms of universal time, not local time. But most U.S. shortwave stations stay on local time, meaning their programming shifts one UT hour later from November 1st. This applies to some, but not all WRMI frequencies, however. 99.55 always makes the shift, and some of the programming on other frequencies. So concerning World of Radio, although we have nothing confirmed yet, our times should henceforth be on 99.55, UT Monday at 04.30, Wednesday at 2300, yes, and Saturday at 12.30. Our WBCQ times should be UT Mondays at 0400 variable on 6160 variable, Area 51, and Wednesday at 2200 on 7490 variable. Check worldofradio.com for our attempts to update our schedule for not only our shortwave outlets, but all our others. Already changed times in Europe and changing times in North America as of November 1st. Also updated is our schedule of other DXSWL and media programs via worldofradio.com and Alan Rowe's hit list of links to websites of shortwave stations has also been updated. Oh, I should point out that our broadcast via IRRS 7290 has already made its 1 hour later time shift for Europe. That is Mondays at 1900 UT instead of 1800. 9395 does not affect World of Radio, but that transmitter at WRMI has been off the air, as we mentioned last week, and continues off the air. An update on that, Richard Langley reports, is posted on their FB page October 23rd. Transmitter 6, engineers repaired the capacitor problem, and we were able to get it back on the air, but it appears the power surge, which caused the initial problem, also damaged something else in the modulator section. The audio extremely distorted. They're continuing to track down that problem. Meantime, we are moving the programs that were normally on 9395 between 22 and 01 UT over to 9455. And we are extending our schedule on 9955 to 1200 until 0400 UT, meaning staying on the air all day long. However, lately I've found that is not the case. Bob Bierman of WRMI replies, "This one is not going to be easy to fix. Many of the parts are no longer available, and it may take a reworking of the audio section. For those who think these units are easy to fix or can be affordably replaced, they cannot. This type of problem may take a few days to a few weeks to resolve." Internet's still off here. I don't have the latest details, but remember that WBCQ was planning some special broadcasts Monday evening, November 2nd, UT November 3rd, in connection with the 100th anniversary of KDKA. Check 7490 variable and 6160 variable. Remember WMLK, the Assemblies of Yahweh shortwave station in Pennsylvania? It used to be on 9275, but it's been off the air for many years. Now Alan Rowe says they've posted an update on their FB page 19 October about their progress to making a comeback. An Ampagon report from the contracted builder. Information on the completion situation. The PSM cabinet is fully assembled, tested, packed, and ready for shipping. Auxiliary transmitter, HV cables, packed and ready for shipping. The ballon is 90% assembled. RF transmitter, 40% assembled. PSM transformer ordered, delivery confirmation according to schedule. Test load, 35%. Delivery of a lot of material delayed because of COVID-19. Medium voltage switchgear, offers from suppliers are in. Procurement will soon follow. On schedule. We target to complete the transmitter by the end of October 2020, ready for wiring tests and functional tests. 4DX tests from that New Jersey station on 1360 WNJC. Via medium wave info, via Mike Terry, the engineer who conducts the test, Dave Hammond, says, "This week I'm going to be airing a Halloween special. No FT8 test. I'll play Halloween sound effects and music mixed with DX audio test clips starting at midnight UT November 1st equals 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, October 31st, continuing all night into the morning until 11 UT, which will then be 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Power levels and pattern, along with more details to be announced before the event." On October 27th, Artie Bigley says, "In Columbus, Ohio, my local WMYC 1580 has been running its day pattern and power all night long for the last 3 weeks. A better chance for DXers to hear them. It's almost non-directional, 3,200 watts. Artie Bigley also forwards this from Lance Venna at Radio Insight. "At its open meeting October 26th, the FCC approved the use of all digital HD radio operations for AM stations. AM broadcasters will be able to voluntarily choose whether and when to convert to all digital operation from their current analog or hybrid analog digital signals." Harold Flojan, Michigan, reports on 11835, October 22nd at 1350 UT, presumably Radio Vanuatu's third harmonic, almost copyable in the noise. It sounded like it was in English. This is not a time when the harmonic of 3945 is usually reported or even on the air. Ralph Perry in Illinois was also hearing this, October 22nd, 1301 to 1330, says Ron Howard. "It was an extended broadcast with non-stop music beyond their usual sign-off time of 1104 UT. Note that China Business Radio, CNR2, goes off the air at 1300 on 11835. So if Vanuatu continues an extended broadcast, DXers in Mid-America should have a good chance of receiving it." Then on October 23rd, Ron Howard was hearing the fundamental 3945 past 1336 for 2 hours. They had been playing the Black Brothers song about once every 10 minutes. The song is "You Are the Only One," also heard by Ralph Perry on October 23rd from 1246. On October 28th, from before 01 UT until after 02 via the remote in Bonaire, I was hearing the new Venezuelan station on 6905.930 variable, reduced carrier upper sideband, mostly tropical tunes, but with automated time checks, 1 minute slow, and three or four varieties of different IDs played between every two or three songs. The only ID now given is ROCV 6906, no more La Voz del Tigre 980, and they claim to be transmitting grandiosely at a worldwide level, even though they're still surely very low power. But explicitly promising a QSL, but they do ask for reports to ROCV 6906 at gmail.com. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field expected to reach unsettled to active levels November 1st and 17th to 21st. ANK indices peaking at 18 and 4 on November 20th. Solar flux rising from 72 October 31st to a peak of 75 between November 8th and 12th, and back down to 68 by November 21st. That's World of Radio 2058. Glenn Hauser, thanks for listening, and hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.